What's good, y'all?
Welcome back. It's your boy CMJ. Excuse me. I'm laughing at this message I just got. But anyway, I'm back. I'm bringing you another episode of the Go Talk. I am previewing and predicting Super Wild Card Weekend, super quote unquote. Listen, last year wasn't in it, or the year before wasn't in it, Super Wild Card Weekend. Okay, they added an extra game in the regular season and in the wild card round. So now it's Super Wild Card Weekend. Anything to add more grandeur to an already outstanding product. But anyway, I'm going to dive into every game this weekend, of course, and give you my little thoughts and takes and whatnot, you know, my little tidbits. Let's see here. Oh, excuse me. Oh yeah, so let's jump right into it. Raiders and Bengals. Derek Carr takes the Raiders up to Paul Brown Stadium to take on Joe Burrow, Burrow, and the Cincinnati Bengals. Let's get his name right real quick. Let's get his name. Burrow, B-U-R-R-O-W, not B-E-A-U-R-U-A-U. You know how you, Burrow. I don't want to hear no more Joe Burrow. Like, what the, he don't own a law firm or something. Like, what, Joe Burrow, like, what? Anyway. Whew, the Bengals are favorite to win this game. All right, they're 6-point favorites. Even I think it opened up at 5.5, but you know, I don't like to go based off the whole favorite thing. You know me, I like to look at numbers. I've seen both these teams play too. And I don't just go based off the numbers either. But the numbers, let's also, the numbers cannot be denied. Okay, like you can't deny the numbers, and you also can't deny what you see with your eyes. Okay, so like let's just be real about it. Okay, and the eye test, it's instinctual, especially if you have a feel for the sport. I think a lot of that goes without saying. So let me just jump right into this, man. Wait, I lost something. Oh, here it is. Sorry about that. Raiders at Bengals. Gosh, where do I there's so many places I could begin. I'm sorry. Like there's Third and Renfro. There's Jamar Chase. A lot of people aren't talking about Josh Jacobs in this matchup as much. I think he'll be a big part. He'll be key if the Raiders get a lead, if they get an early lead. So here's my thoughts on that real quick. If the Raiders get to Burrow early, because the Bengals, they've given up the most sacks out of any team currently in the playoffs. So if the Raiders get to Burrow early with that sacks or pressures, whether it be sacks or pressures, we all know what that does to a quarterback's rhythm and timing. So that, you know, if that throws them off and you get the first possession is a 3-and-out for the Bengals, or the first two possessions are a 3-and-out, or maybe they force a turnover. Anything that results in the Bengals not really scoring points or moving down the field, it'll be up to Josh Jacobs to control the clock, because I think they want to keep Joe Burrow off the field. Like, he gives you that Mahomes, Justin Herbert kind of vibe where he could just... I mean, he's already proven. Listen, Joe Burrow torched my fantasy team a couple weeks ago, okay? With him and T. Higgins, I'm still having nightmares, okay? Like, they torched the Ravens, and I get it, the Ravens were depleted, but they still torched them. Like, it wasn't like a simple, they beat them, and Joe Burrow threw for 300, and T. Higgins only had 80 yards receiving and a touchdown. Like, no. Joe Burrow threw for 525 yards. And T. Higgins had 47 points in fantasy, okay? That was one of the worst days in fantasy history for me. Like, I was not expecting T. Higgins. T. Higgins, the third receiver on the team. I like Joe Burrow, too. I like his upside, I like his ceiling, but I wasn't expecting 500 passing yards. I also wasn't expecting a Ravens team who's been really good without their players, without a lot of their key players, to give up 500 yards in the air. Okay, I'm getting off topic. Anyway, yeah, so the Bengals are explosive. That's what they're going to try to have to hamper down the Raiders. They're going to have to try to hamper down on some of that explosive play, big play capability of the Bengals. And we're talking about with Jamar Chase down the field, with T. Higgins down the field. Tyler Boyd is a good possession receiver, like good go-to guy. He's a good go-to receiver, especially on third down. He's like their Renfro. But the running backs aren't getting a lot of shine in this because the quarterbacks have played really well over the last 4 weeks, respectively. You know, both these teams ranked 6th and 7th in the passing attack, respectively. So it's kind of you know, it doesn't surprise me that Joe Mixon and Josh Jacobs are kind of falling by the wayside. But for the Raiders, if they want to win this game, it'll be early on. It'll be getting after Burrow early and controlling the clock with Josh Jacobs. It won't be a big shootout. Now, if they can't get to Joe, if the Bengals somehow jump up 10-0 or 10-7, then if the Bengals go up 10-0, maybe you get a little press from Carr. Not a lot though. They'll still run the ball. But if they jump up 10-7, I think they still, you know, are within the, you know, the flow. Definitely within the game, their game plan, the game flow. They can still run a normal offense. It's really the second half of the game that we're going to be really keeping our eyes glued to the screen, because for some reason after halftime, the Bengals turn into like a world beater. You can't stop them. Like, you can't stop Chase. You can't stop Higgins. You can't stop Boyd. I mean, even Mixon to get in on the action. They got 4 guys at skills positions that you got to worry about. I mean, Chase, of course, and Mixon. But for Boyd and Higgins to really to give them that, those extra. And then we can't forget about CJ Uzama, too, who, I get it, he's not like a Travis Kelce or Mark Andrews or anything, but he's serviceable. So you, like, it's like you can't forget about that dude is on the field. You gotta have, for the Bengals, for the Raiders to win, they gotta have every one of these guys covered, like, by someone. Can't forget about him. Joe's gonna find him, and if he does, he might just take off. That's another reason why I don't think the Raiders win this game. I think the Bengals win like 31-24, 31-21. But it's not unlikely that the Raiders, what I don't see unlikely to happen is that the Raiders jump out to like a, you know, to like a, I don't know, 10-point lead, or have us like, oh my God, what happened to the Bengals, you know? Or they jump out to a 13-point lead, you know what I'm saying? Oh my God, what happened to the Bengals? And then the Bengals come back and win, because Joe Burrow has done that a lot this season, and he's done it in spectacular and extraordinary fashion. So I'm still going to take the Bengals in this one. I don't think Max Crosby and Ngakoue are going to be enough. I don't think they're enough to offset the weapons that the Bengals have on offense. So let's go ahead. I'm trying to be quick about this because I know I like to ramble. I will ramble on and on and on if I'm allowed to keep talking. If I allow myself to keep talking, especially if I go down this list with the numbers on it. I got a bunch of numbers right here. Anyway, next game, New England Patriots versus Buffalo Bills. It's in Buffalo, or Orchard Park. I think that's what it's called, right? Yeah, Orchard Park, New York, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, look, the last time these two teams played, the Bills won 33-21. I think that was in New England. Last time these two teams played here in Buffalo, yeah, it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. Like, I mean that in every sense of the word. Like, the Bills were embarrassed. They gave up over 200 yards on the ground. And Mac Jones only threw 3 passes. He only threw 3 passes. And they lost, like, 17-14 or something like that. So, I don't really... the key matchup in this game, Stephon Diggs versus J.C. Jackson. That's the key matchup. But the X factor, Devin Singletary. Devin Singletary, even though, listen, like, we don't really think about the running game when we think about the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen and those guys. But Devin Singletary has 6 touchdowns over the last 4 games. His usage rate has climbed significantly. I think they know that they have to have an established, some kind of established running game heading into the postseason if you want to win the Super Bowl. Like, not just make a deep run, win the Super Bowl. You need somebody who can carry the rock for you and control the clock when you have a lead, when you're one of those teams that you know is explosive. You can get up on teams. You have arguably the number one ranked defense. In fact, you have the number one. I can't wait to go over these numbers with you guys. Anyway, follow me. I'm sorry. Just follow me. I get really excited. You got to have a run game. And Devin Singletary is, of course, Josh Allen's going to run the ball here and there because he's going to use his legs. But Devin Singletary and Zach Moss, I'll mention him too. They're going to be key fixtures in controlling the flow of the game, because you don't really need to keep Mac Jones and the Patriots offense off the field. They're not that explosive. They're not explosive like that at all. But if you want to control the flow of this game, which I know the Bills want to, especially against the Patriots, I mean, this is bad. Like, I mean, it's not bad blood, but it's, you can kind of sort of feel like they hate each other, like, because the Bills have been little brother for so long. You just kind of get the feeling that the Bills want to grab this game by the horns early on and keep the game in their control. And I'll just go over the numbers here. Let me go over the defensive numbers for both the teams, okay? The Bills rank first in total yards. The Patriots rank third. The Bills rank first in passing defense. Patriots second. The Bills rank first in points given up per game. Patriots second. Bills rank first on third down percentage on defense. Patriots rank fifth. You know where I'm going with this here? These two teams are very similar defensively. And so herein lies the real, what I'm trying to say is the difference between these teams is obviously the offensive makeup. We got one team that's real pass happy with a quarterback that's explosive. He has a big arm, can make the throws you need him to make. And you can trust Josh Allen with the offense. You can. Josh Allen doesn't lose you games. Same thing with Mac Jones. And Mac Jones does not lose you games. You need somebody right now. He's still a rookie, though, so you need somebody to, call the plays. But Mac Jones has shown a lot of promise. He can make the necessary throws. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mac Jones makes the necessary. Josh Allen can make any throw you need him to. And I get a need and necessary, that's the same thing. But you just follow me here. You get what I'm saying? Josh Allen can make any throw, while Mac Jones can make the necessary throws. You get in key situations on third down. This is why the Patriots are ranked 10th on third down on offense. And the Bills are ranked 5th. I mean, the Bills are ranked 3rd. So it's like these are two really, really good teams. It just wouldn't surprise me if the Patriots won this game like 19-13. For real, 19-13 on the back of Damian Harris, Ramondre Stevenson, and that running game. But I don't think the Bills are going to let that happen again. I don't think the Bills are going to let this. I'd be surprised if the Patriots run for 100 yards. I think the Bills are going to come after them. This is not the number one ranked defense for no reason. And honestly, they're tied for 13th against the run, which isn't bad. That's middle of the pack, But the Patriots are 22nd against the run. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, maybe. Gosh, I mean, you never know what's going to happen. I'm being so loose and vague about it. Just to come full circle on this game. I got the Bills winning. Not just because they're the favorite, because I just don't see the Patriots offense having the firepower to keep up with the Bills. These two teams have good defenses, but I just don't think the Patriots will convert enough on third down, honestly. Numbers aside, because this is one of those games where I will go based off the eye test, off what I've seen from these two teams. I get it. The numbers are really good. They're gaudy, but it's like the Bills on offense, they just, to me, they have more, not fluidity. It's, I think they have more diversity. They can do more. They can run. They can pass. They can run with their quarterback. They can run a read option. They can run an RPO. They could do a lot more. They do a lot more than the Patriots and the Patriots. Their scheme is super simple. You know what? And now that I'm mentioning that, we're probably gonna get a trick play in this game from the Patriots. Probably gonna get a trick play in this game from the Patriots. Mark that I said it here first. But I just don't think the Patriots have enough to keep up with the Bills. I got the Bills winning. I'm going to say 24-16. Boom. All right, next game. This is probably the most anticipated matchup of the weekend. I can't wait, obviously. I'm a Niners fan. Niners and Cowboys at excuse me, at AT&T Stadium. Gosh, look at some of these numbers. I'm sorry. I was looking at the numbers as I was talking to you guys. You know what? Okay. I'm a Niners fan, so let me preface my comments by saying this. I'm speaking very objectively here, okay, guys? I'm speaking very objectively. I got the Niners winning this game. I just don't have a final score because I don't know. I really don't. Okay, I have a final score for the other game, so I guess I'll have a final score for this game too. I'm going to say 27-24. I'm going to say it's really close. And I'm picking the Niners because, I mean, numbers aside, I can't deny the numbers. Hold on, I can't deny the numbers. First things first, let's go with this. Let's start with the quarterbacks, okay? I'm not gonna go over all their major stats or whatnot. I'm just gonna throw out some stats and you just I know you're gonna be like, ooh. So let's start with the quarterbacks. Jimmy Garoppolo, Dak Prescott. Jimmy Garoppolo, he threw for 3,800 yards, 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. He had a 98.7 quarterback rating. That's okay. That's like okay. Like your average. Dak, he threw for 4,400 yards, 37 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 104 rating. That's really good. Now, yeah, a lot of people, especially Cowboys fans, they're not going to like the fact that someone like me is going to bring up the fact that the Cowboys had one of the softest schedules in the league this year. I mean, honestly, if not the softest, I mean, it was soft, like Charmin. But you can only play who is in front of you. And not only did they play who was in front of them, but they excelled against whoever was in front of them. Well, division-wise. I mean, that loss to the Broncos was tough. And they should have lost to the Chargers. The Chargers got hoed. But, hey, things happen. Dak Prescott has the highest grade. The highest PFF grade. That's Pro Football Focus, if you don't know. He has the highest PFF grade under pressure of any quarterback at 69. Jimmy Garoppolo's is the lowest of any quarterback at 28 under pressure. You guys know what I say about Jimmy under pressure. He just gets antsy. He already makes bad decisions, but they become amplified when he's under pressure because he's just trying to do too much, man. And then now I know he's really trying to save his job, but you know you out of here, man. Like, you out, bro. Like, play well though. Do not play like a bum. You know you can get some money somewhere else to get your. You know you can, bro. You can still be a good quarterback in this league, bro. Just don't stop messing up. Okay, I'm sorry. I got subjective. My bad. Let me get back on track. Elijah Mitchell, rookie running back. We're moving to the running backs now. Elijah Mitchell, rookie running back, he almost rushed for 1,000 yards. 207 carries, 963 yards. That's what him, like, splitting touches with other guys. Not just other running backs, other guys. Ayuk and Kittle and Samuel, like, everybody gets the chance to touch the rock. Averaging 4.6 yards a carry, no fumbles on the year. That's really good. So, it's not just Deebo that they got to worry about in the run game, but it's Elijah Mitchell, too. You got two guys to worry about. One of them's a receiver. Like, that's a big problem. It also helps with depth because if somebody gets hurt, like Eli were to get hurt, then you got Debo, you know, you got Hasty's back. You got help. So Ezekiel Elliott, for, you know, as quiet as he's been this year, as much as we've downplayed Ezekiel Elliott, he's got the quietest 1,000-yard season I've ever seen from any running back. I mean, the shushest, like, oh, I had 1,000 yards. Did you know? Like, 1,002, like, literally 1,002 yards. He averaged 4 yards a carry, too. Like, can you believe that? On 237 carries. Like, you know, so it's not like you can deny his presence. But that will be the key for the Niners. Just put a hat on Zeke early. Make Dak pass the ball. Make the tackles work, like Nick Bosa said. Just get after Dak like they've been doing, because the Niners have a 4-man front that can get after the quarterback. They don't need 5 or 6 guys to rush. They can drop back in coverage and rush 4, which is one of the biggest strengths of this team. And even though they're not as dominant as that Super Bowl run, they're still top 10. Excuse me. And Nick Bosa has 15.5 sacks on the year. He's coming. Let me not deny Micah Parsons. My bad. Put his name out there. He'll be a key factor too. Because if he gets in Jimmy's face, if the Niners let Micah Parsons get anywhere near Jimmy Garoppolo, this game could be over sooner than it started. Like, or whatever. You get what I'm saying? Like, bro, don't let Parsons touch Jimmy. Don't let him get no. Don't even let him feel like Micah coming, because it's going to be bad, bro. It's going to be bad. Trayvon Diggs is opportunistic. Like, this defense is opportunistic. They win when they get turnovers. You got to have a clean game. So, you know what the Niners are going to try to come and do, run the ball. I mean, hey, the Niners come into the game 7th best rushing attack, 127 rushing yards a game. Even though the Dallas Cowboys have the best offense overall, it's the Niners defense comes in ranked 5th in total yards. So it's like the Niners defense has been really good, like, especially over the last half of the season. Just not as good on third down. That's going to be the key. That's probably going to be the keys of this game, will be how will the Niners do on third down on offense? How will the Niners do on third down? Are they going to be able to put a hat on Micah Parsons? And will the Cowboys be able to limit Debo Samuel? Because he's become too versatile of a weapon to say, oh, I'm going to put a hat on him. We're going to put a hat on him. Because if you overcommit resources to Debo Samuel, you're going to free, bro, Kittle. You don't want to free Kittle. And who I'm going to say it right now, I think Kittle has a monster game. Especially the focus is Debo. Everybody's talking about Debo. Kittle's going to have at least one tutty, 100 yards. Like, and don't be surprised if IU gets in on that action too. We've already seen Juwan Jennings, an unlikely, you know, hero in that Rams game, step up and make plays. This is Niners versus Cowboys in Dallas. The stars show up for this game. Everybody does. Hell, even CD catches a touchdown, I think. I don't know what's wrong with Amari Cooper. I don't. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, I for sure CD. I think CD's gonna have a solid game. I don't know about good. Don't be surprised if the Cowboys come out and they try to, you know, trick the Niners a little bit and run the ball with CD like how Debo's do, because they've run the ball with CD a couple times this year. I'm still objectively gonna go with the Niners 27-21. At first I was gonna say 27-24, but I don't think it's gonna be that close because of the Niners' ability to rush the passer with 4 guys. With 4 guys, bro. They can do it. They've been doing it all year, actually. If the Niners win the first 2 downs, like, cause I don't think they're gonna let Zeke run the ball very, very much. I don't. It's all about winning the first 2 downs. once they win the first two downs, you know, you get to pin your ears back. Because if they're gonna be relying on Dak Prescott to win this game, that means they're gonna be dropping back more. That means Nick Bosa and those boys, Eric Armstead, Arden Key, they're gonna be able to pin their ears back and get after Dak much more than, let's say, a Micah Parsons would be able to get after Jimmy Garoppolo, because you know that the Niners are gonna run the ball. And I think that'll be the Cowboys' Achilles heel, that time of possession of the Niners and them running the ball down their throats consistently. I think all that pressure from that just alone would, I think the Cowboys might end up, I don't want to say it, but they might end up folding. Like, they might end up crumbling under the pressure if it just becomes too much. You know, the moment is too big. Which I could really see that happening. Like, I don't. Maybe I'm just speaking subjectively. Maybe I should move on from this. I'm still taking the Niners to win this game, though. I don't. You know, the only reason why I think people are picking the Cowboys to win is because they're quote unquote explosive on offense. But I don't think they're that explosive. I don't think they've played anybody. They haven't played anybody to test them. To test that that explosivity, to test those guys. They haven't played anybody. Seriously, I keep saying that before I move, and this is my last thing before I move on. I keep saying they haven't played anybody. Let me just go back to the schedule. They beat the Eagles without their starters. They lost to the Cardinals, 25-22. So I'm sorry, that's not that they haven't played anybody. They haven't beaten anybody. They haven't beat anybody worth beating. For the football team, they beat the Giants. They beat. The football team, they beat again. They beat the Saints. You know, we already know what's going on with the Saints. We know what's going on with all those other teams. They lost to the Raiders, 36-33. You know what I'm saying? And they have to come back in that game. And it's like, and you dropped 33 points in that game, but you lost to the Raiders. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, you know, you lost to the Chiefs. There's no shame in that. And you beat the Falcons. That's nobody. You lost to the Broncos. Wow. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm just going, and I'm going a little far now, but it's just saying, if I go over the, I was going back and forth with the Cowboys fan, and he was like, oh, we beat the Patriots. I'm like, bro, I get it. The Patriots are a playoff team, and they're a good team. I really do. But come on now. Like, man, it's not like it was Mac Jones versus Dak Prescott. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just wasn't a defining win. So yeah, I'm there. That struggle with the identity thing, I think is real. Maybe they, but you know what? There is, as much as I'm saying that they could fold, there is also a good distinct possibility that they hit, they find a new stride that they haven't found in the regular season against playoff teams. You get what I'm saying? Like with CeeDee and Zeke, maybe they hit their stride. They got Tyron Smith back. Maybe they hit this stride that they haven't caught in the regular season, and that kind of takes them to maybe an NFC championship game. I'm still gonna take the Niners to win, but it's just this one's a really hard pick 'em. Okay, Eagles and Buccaneers, guys. Like I was saying before, this isn't really a highly touted matchup. In fact, I won't even spend too much time on this. We know there are a bunch of injuries on both sides. I mean, the Buccaneers are 7-1 at home this year, so I don't really see them losing this game, even though they just lost Chris Godwin a few weeks ago, and they just lost Antonio Brown a couple weeks ago, and they just lost Leonard Fournette a few weeks ago. Like, the Eagles... I mean, the Eagles are solid defensively. They're solid. I mean, they're not the best on third down, and they give up 22 points a game, but, you know, could be worse. They could be last. The Eagles actually on offense are a good third down team. So if they can stay true to themselves and run the ball, because they average 160 yards rushing, that's first in the league. They can run the ball, convert on third down, they'll give the Buccaneers a run for their money. In fact, don't be surprised if the Eagles do upset this team, because the Buccaneers are hurt in a lot of key positions. not just at running back and receiver, but at cornerback and safety too. So at linebacker. So I'm gonna pick the Buccaneers because it's the Buccaneers and it's Tom Brady, and Jalen Hurts has an ankle injury that he has been running less on. He has been running as much since he's got that ankle injury. So I'm gonna take the Buccaneers in that one. It's not too much really to dive into or delve into. Not too many interesting things anyway. Steelers and Chiefs. Najee Harris has got activated. Juju Smith is expected to play. So this game could be a lot more interesting than we first anticipated. Ben Roethlisberger gets the ball out of his hands the fastest in the league. That's because the Steelers rely on a short passing game. They heavily rely on that. So, this game really isn't that interesting to me because, I didn't want to see the Steelers in the playoffs. I didn't want to see this short passing game in the playoffs. I didn't want to see this anemic offense, honestly. This is an anemic offense. Ben can't push the ball down the field, and he's got receivers that can push the issue down the field, but he can't push it down the field. Najee, 307 carries. I'm pretty sure he has the most touches in the league. I'm almost certain. And both these teams, I mean, they're really good. They're really good at home. Too bad the Steelers aren't at home. I'm gonna pick the Chiefs. I mean, they're 12.5-point favorites. It's Mahomes. It's the Chiefs. The way the Chiefs defense has been playing lately, they've been playing that short passing game very well. So if you take away the strength of the Steelers, in fact, that's the only thing they can really do is that short passing game, unless you let them run the ball down your throat. Now, the Chiefs are 21st against the run, whereas the Steelers are 32nd. They're dead last. So I think the Chiefs will have their way with the Steelers this time. I think it'll be a fairly one-sided game. I think the Steelers are just going to score late garbage time touchdowns to make it, look pretty, but I don't think this is going to be I don't think this is going to be a tightly contested matchup throughout the game. Unless the Steelers can force some turnovers, which I just don't see happening. So I got the Chiefs, 28-12. And these last two games were pretty easy for me to predict because, Ben Roethlisberger, you're not the old Ben. He's not the old Ben. So there's no new dynamic in that offense. There's nothing that really scares the Chiefs defense. You get what I'm saying? They're going to run the ball with Najee. They're going to throw it short to Najee. He might throw it short to Deontay. He might take a slant, for some extra yards. You're going to throw it short to Juju, too. You're just going to throw it short because you can't push the ball down the field. We're going to come up and play that. I think the Chiefs are going to get after them. The last game on this slate, arguably the biggest game on this slate, the Rams and Cardinals. Because, listen, both these teams are really good. Both these teams can really go to the Super Bowl. They just so happen to play in the first round. The last time these two teams met, Aaron Donald had a field day against Max Garcia. So, and it's crazy because I was saying, earlier in my last podcast, I haven't been hearing Aaron Donald's name as much. And you're probably going to hear his name a lot this weekend. This is the first playoff game. It's at home against the Cardinals, a division rival. I don't think he's not going to show up. It's just, who do you rely on in this game? Both these quarterbacks have had problems with turnovers recently. Kyler Murray and Matthew Stafford, of course. And so it's hard to say because they've also been running the ball very well. James Conner has been a monster for them. He leads the league in touchdowns, 15 touchdowns at running back. Excuse me. And Sonny Michel is averaging 4 yards a carry for the Rams. So, excuse me. I'm sorry, guys. I got a little nasal congestion. Please forgive me, please. Cooper Kupp got the Triple Crown, so you know what he's about this year. But, if I go look at these numbers real quick, and I got to cut this episode short because I'm running out of time. Going down these numbers, it's for the Cardinals to win, you know, if the Cardinals were to win, I wouldn't be surprised. Overall, their overall offense, I think it's better than the Rams. They have their balance between running and passing is fluid, you know, because they not only do they have a good running back that can, you know, get the yards after contact and fight for extra yards and be a goal line goonie. Kyler Murray is good. You know how Kyler Murray is with his legs. And then he can fling it down the field, too. You got D-Hop. You got AJ. I mean, excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry. D-Hop's on IR. My bad. They going to win this game without D-Hop? Oh, no. Somebody predicted that the Cardinals would win this game without DeAndre Hopkins. You serious? I don't think so. I mean, but AJ Green and Christian Kirk, though, they are very much respectable. Especially Christian Kirk. He almost had 1,000 yards himself. You know what? I see why you could pick the Cardinals to win this game. The only reason why I'm not picking the Cardinals, the only reason why I haven't picked the Cardinals yet is because if Matthew Stafford were to lose in the first round, do you know how bad that would look? Oh my God, you know how bad that would look if he were to lose in the first round? I mean, everything that we've been saying about you, especially me, everything I've been saying about you would be true. Like, you know, you aren't worth that number one overall pick. Like, you're not all that. You're not that dude. Like, you're not that dude. And you all, having 13 turnovers over, like, or I'm sorry. Hold on. I got the number here. He had, like, 13 turnovers over, like, the last half of the season or some number marker of the season. He had, like, 13 turnovers in the last half of the season. And I think there were 7 other quarterbacks in the league who had 13 interceptions year long. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, the turnovers is a big problem for Matty. Like, hopefully he can get it together, but he's got to find other receivers to throw the ball to. I said this on my last podcast. Like, he's got to find his connection with Odell. And if you cannot find that in this game, you need to throw the ball to Van Jefferson. You know they're going to be keying in on Cooper Kupp. You know this. Cam Akers, I hope you're doing better, because Matthew needs you. He needs you. And this is another reason why I say Matthew Stafford's not that dude. Look how much help he needs to be quote-unquote great or elite, even though he's not elite. Don't get me wrong, he's not elite. But a lot of people who've called him elite, look how much help he has now. Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods before the injury, Odell, Van Jefferson, Cam Akers back now, Sony Michel, like, look how much help he has. Look how much fluff and cushion he has to succeed. If he can't pull it out, that's on him. This is why they brought you in. If you can't pull it out, I mean, this is a huge disappointment. The Rams win this game 31-21. They have to win. The Rams have to win. You can't lose in the first round. You can't lose in the wild card round, not being a team supposedly this good. And I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to have to cut this short. I'm gonna cut it short. I gotta get up out of here. The games are gonna start in like an hour and a half, and I just me finding out that I got COVID is really annoying. Like, I don't know how to handle that right now, so I'm about to go, I don't know, figure that out. But I hope you enjoyed listening to me, man. I'll come back next week with an episode. I'll be more energetic about it. I just didn't like that news. I'm trying really hard. So I'll catch you guys later, man. Peace.